Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Loose Lips with myself, Robin Richford, and of course, the gorgeous Sophie Brown.
Woo! Thank you.
Did I like that?
I like that one. I'm not feeling, but I mean, my hair, I washed and Dyson my hair this morning, so we're somewhere, but not
you're so good
that.
At the Dyson, you know. You are the Dyson queen.
I know. Do you know, I always caveat it with it doesn't work for everyone, but it has been the best thing for me.
Do you think you've got a lot of hair or is it thick?
Well, this is all fake again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've had loads of tapes put in. So this is why it's so long again, which I love. But my natural hair does hold
it,
though.
It looks so natural, doesn't it?
I know, it's clever, isn't it?
It's so clever.
Loads of hair in here, you know.
I'm thinking about getting extensions, you know.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's a big difference, but once you kind of have them, this is the only thing though, once you have them, it's a bit difficult to go back. But do you know, for the first time, when they took my old extensions out, because I lost loads of my hair after when I had COVID the first time and stuff, and my hair was never the same again, it was healthier and longer. And I was like, oh my God, am I getting my hair back? Like, I felt a bit more comfortable with it for the first time.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because you think, like, actually with the extensions, it would make it like worse, no, because of the weight of them.
Well, obviously people see it from different sides. There's going to be people that say it ruins your hair and all of this and all of that, right? Okay, I'm sure it does for some people. The extension companies are obviously going to say that it doesn't. However, I've got tapes in now, and you know what they say is what they always say, which is like, if it's applied in you know, a safe way and whatever, then it shouldn't pull on your hair.
Right, okay.
It should
so
keep
tapes,
growing.
Sorry, so because I know nothing. So yeah. The tapes though, they you keep them in when you wash your hair and stuff like that. It's not like the clip in things. No.
So yes, yeah. So they always stay in. So I used to have a weave, which is where it basically is sewn into your head. So I had like two layers of hair where
did
it was sewn
you?
In. Yes.
Okay.
And I did really like that one. That one served me well. And then I just essentially had the opportunity to try these. I worked with a brand on them, Sway Extensions, and the woman was like, try tape, try them. I love them. And I was like, oh, I've heard different things. She was like, no, you know, give it a go because they are amazing. And I do like them. It's a bit different washing your hair. And you can't, with my weave, I could put my hands through my hair a little bit more. Like they're
right,
definitely
okay.
there. But
okay.
when I'm, God, they're paper, what?
Paper thin.
No, paper thin? Lightweight, like
lightweight.
Light
as paper?
Yes, they're weightless anyway.
Weightless, okay.
Them, which is incredible, considering, you know, I have got quite a lot of hair in here.
Yeah.
And I think they're extremely natural. Like, you know, you can see them and they're not. I mean,
I always just assumed that was your hair, you know? I didn't know that.
No, I had COVID really badly the first time. And I think that because I had such a bad illness, I developed telogen effluvium, TV, which is like basically stress-induced hair loss, usually from either a very stressful event in your life or a really bad like sort of illness. Like when your body's like trying to protect you, obviously then you end up like, it ends up having to like dip in other ways. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah,
like,
of course. I mean, I get hair loss all the time when I'm stressed. Yeah. Oh. So I had alopecia when I was a kid.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So like then when I was in high school and going through my exams, clumps fell out. And then when I was stressed in 2020, actually quite a lot fell out just because I had my operation and I think hormonally as well,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Also 2020. Hello.
yeah.
That just says it all. So I was thinking about it, but then I was a bit like, I don't know, I've just never done it. And then, to be fair, I didn't know if it was one of those things that, like, a bit like Botox, you know, like once you start, that's it. And it's expensive, right? It's expensive.
It's an investment. I won't lie. Yeah. Like, same. When you first get the hair, it's a lot of money. And then I don't know what the maintenance is like for tapes as much. I'm kind of in new waters here, but it lasts. I think the hair can last about a year. Honestly, depends how you look after it. And then
wow, that's a long time though.
It can. Like, I've had hair for that long. I'd say that what happens is, because it's real hair, you don't have to get real hair, but I've always had real hair, it just starts to sort of break off like normal hair would.
Right, okay.
Which is what happened to me recently, which is why I'm like happy to have my long hair back. But basically, I had like really long extensions last summer, and then they were just getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And after Christmas, I just felt like they were literally like racing up, and it was like the same length as my natural hair in the end.
That's mad, isn't it? It just didn't feel
the same. And now I'm like, oh, I've got my hair back.
Oh, I love it. You've got beautiful hair though. I really like it. Well, actually, should we get into the topic for this week? I'm excited. I feel like it's a good topic.
It feels a bit close to home right now.
Oh no. Okay, let's jump on in then. We're basically talking about how relationships affect our friendships. And when we talk about relationships, we mean like romantic relationships. Yeah. How does it change and shape a friendship? Because I think it does both in a positive and a negative. I know through the years, like, definitely whether or not my friends were in relationships affected, you know, the kind of friend they were and things like that. And I think now as well, it's even more so, right? Because I was talking to a friend the other day about this, and I was saying that, you know, like in your early 20s, kind of late teens, your friends are your go-to, right? And then your romantic partner is kind of like an additional. And then somewhere along the line, they kind of replace you in the hierarchy, as they should, if it's going to become, you know, their husband or their wife or, you know, whoever, then they kind of, you know, they supersede you. Then there's this weird dynamic shift. Whereas when you're kind of at uni and you're in your 20s, it's like, no, I'm going out with the girls, you know, and like, girls are your priority. I was talking to my friend about this, and I was like, it's really interesting that shift that happens. And something, you know, most of the time it just happens really naturally, and then other times it's a bit more evident. But I don't know, it's a really interesting, I guess, topic. Do you feel like there's kind of friends in your life that perhaps you wouldn't have in your life if they had a partner?
That I would have if they had a partner?
No, so like I've got single friends that I'm sure once they have a partner, I will never see them again.
Yeah. I think so. I think such a difficult thing to navigate, because like it can be really damaging to friendships. Like I have lost really good friends when they've got partners, and it's really difficult thing to do. Cause I think, especially if you're single yourself, like you just have to suck it up a lot of the time. And that's, you know, and it is, that's life, but it can be really difficult. Like I always say, like, especially as you get older as well, like more people generally around you are in relationships. Like not many of my friends are single now. And when you like lose someone that was single, like that was part of, you know, that same.
Lose someone. I love that.
Like, no. No, but like lose them. No, but like they're not single anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do.
It's really hard, but it's like this at the moment is like quite prevalent in like one of my friendship groups. And it's crazy because it's like, it's just so difficult because you've, on one hand, like you've got your friends that you like really care about and stuff. And then you've got like their partners. Like I've got like guy friends that are my friends' partners that have come into my life since they've been with my friends. And like, it's a really nice dynamic. And they're like another friend of mine. But then as soon as anything like happens with them, you're kind of thrown. You lose them both.
I know.
You know, obviously you stick by your friend. I don't mean that. But what I mean is like, you know, I and my best friend knows this. Like we went through a lot with her and her ex-boyfriend and stuff. And like a lot of my friends were his friends, and like I lost all of them in a heartbeat when they would break up and get back together and break up and get back together, and like it would just fall apart, and like I would just lose all my friends, and like she's my best friend, that's fine, but like it sucked.
Yeah it's like it's one of those, isn't it, where you're like I wouldn't do anything different, but like also it's not great, like it's not. Yeah, no, I know. I like to think like the older we get, the less that says I don't know, evident, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I also think as well, it's really interesting, and I wonder how you would feel about this actually. I have found that, see, friends that are kind of, as a general rule, always in and out of relationships, they tend to not always kind of prioritize a partner over the friendships. But I always, well, from my experience, it's always been that friend that has either gone through high school and they've always been single, or they've gone through college and they've always been single. The minute they get a partner, it's like you don't see them for dust. And it's almost like because they've perhaps waited so long to meet someone that like when they have got that person, they're just like, you know, they want to be all in. And you totally get that. Whereas I do think that my friends that, for instance, have gone out with their partners, you know, since the teens, they're a bit more balanced. And I wonder if it's because in those kind of early years of like early 20s that they kind of had to balance it. And so then they've just kept the balance as they've kind of got older.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting because like one of my friends in particular, she was always single. And then the minute she got a partner, it was like, you know, we never saw her. And that was that. I think it's a really interesting like dynamic shift where you're so happy for your friend because obviously they've been single for so long and you want them to have a partner and you want them to feel all those feels. But equally you're like, yeah, but I want you to be my friend too.
I know it is, because I think that because I've been single a lot more than I've been in relationships. And obviously I talk about it quite, you know, actively, like I'm totally happy as I am, but I am very looking forward to meeting someone. And, you know, I want to settle down and eventually have kids and all of that. And I do think that for me personally, just because I kind of know what I want now, I'm a bit older, and I do think it would move faster, which probably means that I would spend more time with them maybe initially. Having said that though, like the type of guys that I generally speak to are quite busy in their own right, and I'm quite busy in my own right. So having said that, I don't really have the time to overly, like, I don't know, I say that, I mean, you know, you make the time, it's not like that. And also you I don't know, but I mean, I think
it's okay for a short period of time, right? Like, I think that's exciting. You're in the honeymoon period. Like, you know, if it's 6 months and it's just like, you know, we're just getting to know each other. And like you say, everything's going faster because we're a bit older. That's fine. And I think like as a friend, you totally expect that. I think it's when it kind of maybe goes beyond that time period of like, I mean, I'm not like sitting there with my calendar like that's been 6 months now. But I think it's when it becomes years, right? And then that's kind of I don't know. But then some people just do want to shape their entire life around their romantic partner, and that's also, I guess, fine.
Welcome to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast,
where we answer the questions you want to hear about parenthood
and provide you with real, honest advice for every stage of your parenting journey.
Whether you're a parent to be, a new mum like me, navigating those sleepless nights,
or a more experienced parent facing the challenges of raising older kids like me,
we've got you covered with relatable stories, expert insights, and plenty of laughs along the way.
So grab your headphones, a cup of coffee, or maybe something stronger,
and let's get real about parenting.
We're not going to be sugarcoating anything. From punamis to piles, nothing is off limits at Mum's the Word.
It's a podcast for all the parents out there, our own little club.
Mum's the Word.
Listen wherever you get your podcast from.
And hit follow so you don't miss an episode.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, I mean, I know. It's so hard because I guess, I'm sat here and I'm single, so it's different. And, you know, I can have an opinion on it, but it doesn't mean that I'll act exactly like that. But I do genuinely, like, I've had boyfriends in the past and I know that I don't act like that, if you know what I mean. But I have got friends or know of people that, I mean, they are literally attached to their partner, like codependent to the absolute max, like practically can't do stuff without each other. And that is my idea of hell on earth. Just so you're aware, like, I'm just like, imagine, like, what happens, like,
oh, no.
I'm not joking,
like, some people are happiest that way, they really are.
I actually
got into a bit of a debate with a friend one time. Yeah, we didn't see eye to eye. Well, basically what had happened was it was my birthday. Mm. And I was newly single. And I do feel like context is important. So I was newly single. It was my birthday. Well, I was actually heartbroken single, you know, on that stage.
Aww.
It was awful. Anyway, and we're going out for my birthday. And we're having this girls' night. And she wanted to bring her boyfriend to birthday. And I actually said no, right? And I don't know if that's the right or wrong thing. Maybe some people were like, that you shouldn't have never have done that. But to be fair, we're early 20s. But still, I was like, I would rather you didn't. I didn't say no, like, no. But I just said, I would really rather you didn't. I was like, it would be amazing to have a girls' night, because I do think, and I stand by this even now, I do think there is a difference when there is male company there. I think it's a different night out.
Yes.
I think that everyone's just a bit more cautious. I mean, probably for the best. But you know what I mean? Like, I just think, I don't know, it changes the dynamic, in my opinion, yeah, when men are there.
Yeah.
And not necessarily men, but just partners.
Yeah. Partners. Yeah.
So I said, I would rather you didn't bring him, if that's okay. And she was kind of newly in a relationship and in that really, like, honeymoon period, you know, as you do. Anyway, so we went on a night out and then he turned up because she had, like, said yes in the end. And I wasn't happy about it. And, you know, probably after tequila or two, I was like, I really don't know why you brought him in. And then I sounded awful because it looked as if I was being so rude, like, that he'd come. Yeah. But equally, I was just like, I just think it changes things. Like,
yeah.
And because I was maybe being very selfish because I was in my kind of heartbreak moment.
I mean, I
was
just both, like, sides. I really don't think that you are at all. It's your birthday.
Thanks, Soph. But I was like, that's actually very out of character for me. Normally I'm a bit more like go with the flow with those sort of things. But I do think that, like, I don't know, I think girl time, as you get older, has to be as protected as possible because it doesn't naturally happen, right? So, like, when you're at uni, when we were at uni, five of us all living in a house together, you know, a girls' night is literally just every night, you know, like, because we're all living there and it's part of the experience and all of that sort of stuff. But now, my gosh, trying to get a girls' night with my girls, 6 months on the diary.
Yes. So then can the boyfriends come? No, they can't.
No, they can't. They can't.
No.
I have waited 6 months to have wine and talk shit, probably about them.
Yeah.
So, I don't want you to bring them. I'm sorry. But yeah, I don't know if I'm quite, maybe I'm a bit strict like that. I don't know.
I
also am like, that's from someone that's been in a relationship for a very long time.
Yeah.
So it's not as if I'm like out here like, you know, oh, it's because, you know, he's going to cramp my style or I'm out here trying to pull or it's none of that. It's none of that. It's actually the opposite. It's like, I don't know. And there's space for couples nights and all of that sort of
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. And I would actually say, like, I sounds like such a pick me comment, but like I get on really well with guys. Like I do. I always have done. And I do like hanging out with them, and especially like on nights out and stuff like that. Like, it's not even that like I wouldn't want them there because of that. I actually like very much enjoy their company. I like having guy friends, but it's just not the same. It's not the same. But I feel like, I mean, I've got some friends that probably wouldn't come if their boyfriends weren't invited.
Yeah, well, this is it. It's really, yeah, it is a really interesting one. And also as well, like, so I just went to Thailand for a friend's wedding. And my partner is obviously an actor, and he was on a contract, and he, like, you can't get time off. That's not really a thing. So he couldn't come in the end. And I said, you know what? I'm still just going to go, you know, with my friends. Like, this is a moment I'm not going to get back. So I went, and there was five of us, right? Because it was my two best friends, their partners, and me. And there was moments, I'm not going to lie, where I was just like, this is actually horrid.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, gosh, my single friends must feel like this sometimes. Right.
I was about to say to you, how you feel is like how I feel, but it's even worse because I don't have anyone that's at home.
But I was just like,
it's really hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's actually so, so hard because I don't know, the dynamic is just different. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I just found it so hard. And even silly things, like, so for instance, like, I was like, oh, I'd like to take some cute photos for Instagram and stuff. I'm not obviously an influencer in any capacity, but I was like, I'm in Thailand, I'd like a photo, and I've, you know, made the effort to get ready, I'd like a photo. Anyway, it was like, even in that, it was like, it felt like I couldn't really, like, ask for a photo, like ask people to like stand and take photos on me, because I was just like, I kind of always felt as if I had to go with their flow. I don't know, it was really, really interesting, I thought, because they're my best friends, and obviously I had the best time and I really enjoyed it and all of that, and there was absolutely nothing that they did that would ever make me feel excluded in any way.
But people don't, like, it's a feeling, and like, I think that's what sometimes people don't understand, like, because to be fair though, there are couples, like, I've got friends where like, and this is what I kind of feel like I would be like, which is like, you go together and you have a great time as a couple or whatever, but say you're at an event, you can easily just like go away from each other and come back at like the end of the night or whatever. And now and again, you're like with each other, but you're not at the hip all the time. But even so, I think that like people don't realize, you know, like when they're being, you know, cute and affectionate, and that's great. And I love that for them. But like, it genuinely does like affect you. Like when you're single and you're there and you're just like, and especially if you're not feeling in like the best place about it, it's like really, really hard. And I've had loads of moments where I've like walked off and cried and stuff. It's not my friend's fault.
No.
I'm just feeling shit about it.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I actually do get it. I think like before I was kind of like always, to be honest, I think I kind of always got it in the sense of like, I always am very hyper aware. Like if I've got my single friends are there and I'm with my partner, if wrongly or rightly, I probably kind of exclude him a little. Like, without kind of meaning it. He's like, I'm over here. I'm like, yeah, I know, but you know. But I did, it was really interesting when I went on that holiday, because I was like, wow, like this is a dynamic that I haven't actually thought about. Even silly things, when it came to choosing where to eat, I felt like it's not true at all, and my friends weren't doing that at all, but I actually felt like my opinion was less valid.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know, but I get it. Yeah.
It's really interesting, because it's just like, never in a million years would I stand there with my like friend who was single or just without their partner and think that their opinion was less valid. Yeah. Never.
I would never think that. It just makes you feel a certain type of way. And you know, like, I think like a holiday and things like that is tricky. And like, me and my best friend have been single a lot of the time in our friendship group, and we've had a lot of our friends have relationships for a long time and stuff. So we've seen different dynamics play out, and it can be really tricky. And like, even things like, we're going to one of their weddings in September, which I'm super excited about. We've got an amazing villa in Kefalonia, and like, to be fair, their boyfriends aren't coming. I am really excited for it to be a girls' trip. But even so, the dynamics of even that are even different, you know, with people that are single and people in relationships and things like that. And, you know, people making that phone call in the evening, like, oh, I miss you, I love you, and all of that. Like, you know, there's like half the group that will be doing that and half the group that don't have that. And it's just like such a weird thing to navigate. And like, it's caused loads of arguments in friendship groups and between me and my friends. Like, even recently, it's been like, I just know, like, and it's difficult when you look at like scenarios, like one of my friends was with a guy and we fell out a couple of times because of, you know, the arguments that they had and stuff and me kind of giving my opinion and things like that. And like, ultimately they're not together anymore. But at the time I was the one not thrown to the side, but like, you know, their relationships probably, it's a very, very strong friendship we have, but like, you know, you're in love with someone, aren't you? That's different than friendship. So it's like,
of course it is.
You know, and they're saying one thing and your friend's saying another. And it's like, well, look, you know, but then it's like, ultimately they're not together anymore. So all those tears and pain and all of that, you know, not being friends because of it.
Why? Yeah. It is a really interesting thing. And that's when I think the dynamic shifts with an age, because I think like when you're younger, I think we're a bit more like, oh, he probably won't hang around. That's kind of the assumption. Mm. And whereas I think when you're older, I think the assumption swings the other way, where it's as if like,
true,
you know, it's a bit like, you know, he could be the one sort of thing. I'm really cautious now, where I never used to be. I'm really cautious about giving my opinion on partners, like really cautious.
I think I've got a little bit hard. More. Yeah. Because you are right. It's also, you know, I think, yeah, you're right. When you're younger, you just sort of say things and you don't assume necessarily it's going to be a long-term thing, but it's, yeah, you have to be careful. I don't know, but it's a really difficult thing as a friend to not give your opinion, especially if someone's, I don't know, not asking for it, but.
Yeah, well, that's now kind of my rule. Mm. If they ask, I'll give them it.
Yeah. But, oh, right. And if you feel if something.
If they don't ask, I don't give them it.
I know, I get now. It.
Because I just think, like, it's so funny because one of our friends has been, she got married, 3 or 4 years ago. Anyway, she's been with her partner 10 years. So she was with her partner all through university. Like when we all met, you know, she had already had her partner because she met him in her teens. And it's really funny because I'm like, I know some of the girls maybe said some things that maybe like back then when we were at uni and they've only been out a year or so, like, you know, he's this or that or whatever. And it's really funny because it's like kind of almost stuck. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's like now they've been together, you know, and obviously they're together forever now. So it's like, you got to watch again in a way. You kind of got to, I don't know. My rule is always don't say anything that like you can't take back, like, because you can't take it back. So like if there's anything that would require you to take it back, if they were to get back together, I try and not. Yeah.
Or that you wouldn't maybe say to them as well. Like, I think that, like, because I mean, we've had it recently, like with a couple of friends or whatever. And like, it literally they're asking for the advice, but then it's like, you're kind of concerned they'll just take that text message or voice note or whatever and just show it to their partner. And it's like, if they're going to take it word for word, I want to be able
not.
To.
Well,
you never know. Yeah, you never know, do you? Like if they're asking for advice on something and you give it and then they have that same argument with their partner, they might be like, well, Sophie said.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never, but maybe that's why I'm assuming
no one
would.
This happen.
Oh my God,
I always think, you know, just make sure it's something that you would say to their partner's face.
But I do also think that's on our friends to not do that, surely. No?
Believe me, it's happened.
It happened. But I feel the same about parents. I like, you know, sometimes when you have an event about a partner, and it could be really easy to like say to your parents, oh, this, that, and this, or your parents see you upset. That's a hard one because your parents will remember and they won't forgive in the same way that you'll forgive, let me tell you.
That's such a good point. That this is why as well, like, I think that you do have to sort of pick your battles and stuff like that. And I think that that's why it can be difficult as friends, because sometimes you're so like sort of diluted with the different things your friends are saying. And it's like, don't tell me every time you fall out then.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want me to know and what do you not want me to know? Because you can't be like, this, they said this is this and it was really horrific, da, 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 but we're fine now. And then it's happened again. And then it's like, you either continue, you know, tell me and I'll always be here for you. But if you're not going to take on my opinion, then you're going to be like, oh, well, we're fine now and da, da, da. That's not fair because you've just lumbered me with all of that information. Obviously, I care about you. So I'm going to give you my like.
And I'm going to be bothered that,
And I'm going to be bothered about what they've said to you and all of that. And then you expect me to be happy families the next day.
Yeah, so it is. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? And like one of my good friends, when they kind of, because couples fall out, you know, especially at this age. Like they fall out and like they have, you know, maybe break up and then they get back together or whatever. And I'm always just like, I try and play a little bit of devil's advocate unless it's something horrific, in which case it's just black and white and it's bad, you know, if they've cheated or they've done whatever. I try and kind of, even if they have cheated, I kind of try and be like, well, you know, it's on you, like it's your decision and whatever you kind of decide, it's on, you know, on you, and I'm happy to support whatever it is that you kind of, you know, rather than being so black and white, like I tend not to go down the route of he's this, he's that. I never kind of do that.
Yeah.
Usually because I don't actually feel that way. I always kind of can see a bit of nuance, but I do think it is tricky, especially if it's a new relationship. I think it's easy to kind of not disregard it, but you know what I mean? Kind of not give it the importance that it probably deserves, because actually, who are we to judge how long's long enough to kind of make it, you know? Because like I say, I've got friends that are like 35, which by the way, is not old at all. But what I mean is they've met someone at 35, been single for say 10 years, and that's it. They get married, they have the kids, all within like a year. And a year and a half, you know? Yeah. So who are we to judge that however long isn't long enough?
No,
you know what I mean?
I don't think it's, I think speed and things like that, obviously it's different for every relationship. But I just think it's so true though. I think that you do have to be a little bit more careful now, because like those opinions do stick. And like, especially if like that person is made aware of what you think of them, like that can never go away. Like that can then be like an ongoing thing for the, you know, the duration and the life of their relationship. So it's like, you do have to pick your battles. You really do. I think as long as you've got your friend's sort of best interest at heart, and I think if it doesn't cross that line, like obviously there are scenarios where you need to get involved. Like if it's, you know, if they're arguing that bad and things are being said and whatever, and you know, you feel like you need to help them or they need help or whatever, then go ahead, you know. And if that means you end up falling out, I'd rather take that. I will fall on that sword, because I wouldn't want my friend to, you know.
Fair. If it's that bad. If it's not, I always kind of take the stance of I ain't going up against the husband, because it's not a battle I'm going to win.
Exactly. So true. Yeah.
I just don't put my friend in that position of a me or him situation, because it's not one that I'm going to win. So I think if you know that, and I think some people get hurt by that because they're a bit like, well, I was here before. And, you know, like we've been friends since I was 5, and actually I should be the priority and things like that. But I actually don't. I just go, you know what? I'm fully aware that in the pecking order, the husband is above me, or the partner is above me. And that just is what it is, I think, in terms of life, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. But yeah, I was... not that.
Absolutely not.
Oh, I've lost it.
I just lost it.
I think it's a really interesting topic, to be fair. And I think if you handle it with more maturity than just like being outspoken with it, because I mean, the amount of times I've posted stuff in the group chat and things like that, and everyone will just give their opinion straight away, and it's like, I feel like now I'm a bit older, it's like, wait a minute, and also I do think now as well, as much as I love and back my friends, there are two sides for every story.
There actually is though, and sometimes your friend needs to be told. You know what I mean? Because actually that's doing what's best for her. Like, actually I don't think he's in the wrong there, or you know, like I've been there where I've been like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have slashed his tires.
Sometimes there's some hard truths to deliver to your friends, and I've absolutely had to do that before. No problem doing that. Again, pick your battles, but
that's it. You're like, no, he just watched another episode of the series that you're watching, so like, let's not key the car, you know, like.
I mean, that's pretty bad, to be fair.
Could you imagine? Well, hopefully we've given you a little insight into, I guess, if you have a friend that is maybe in a new relationship, or it's kind of having those moments where you go, you know what, let's just pick our battles and not battle, maybe, is perhaps the answer.
Cut them a little bit of slack, maybe.
Yeah, and allow that honeymoon period, and know that, like, they'll come back if they're a real friend anyway, because they always do.
Always.
If they're a real friend, even if they've still got their partner, or if they've not got their partner, they always come back.
Always.
They just need to be in their love bubble for a little while.
Exactly. And let them, guys. And then just, you know, they'll come back around.
They always do. and we will see you next time for more Loose Lips. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thanks. And if you want to give the...
We're so close.
Oh my God. I thought you were letting me speak then. Well, why did you laugh at me then?
Because you didn't speak.
I did speak. Okay, this is me speaking. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to follow the podcast on Instagram, it's at the Loose Lips Podcast, or you can follow me and Robin at Robin Richford with a Y or at Sophie H. Brown.
And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.